Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Oh my God, big event for you today.
Woo-hoo! So both of my kids went to the same school for the first time. My little one, four and change or more, went to TK. And my other one went to third grade.
That's so exciting. Third grade. That's a hard grade. It's going to be a lot of homework.
He's aware. He's already really anxious. But I held back the tears. There was nothing on my... It was more joy, sadly. But that's the truth. I was like, peace. I'm out. Yes.
And they didn't cry. They said bye-bye, no. Mama.
And all the people in the TK class, I would say like 50% were crying. Thank God my son wasn't one of them, because Remy was always a crier. I mean, it was horrible leaving that, when you just like, you know, when they're like like the ugly cry and they're like sobbing and you have to be like, okay, I gotta leave. No, he didn't do that, so I was grateful.
Oh my gosh, I remember dropping Tiffany off to preschool, which they used to call it. Why is it pre-K, TK instead of pre-K?
Okay, I don't know, because they call it transitional kindergarten.
All right. Yeah. They used to just call that pre-K. Anyway, yeah. So in preschool, however, she only went to, I think, like a year or a year and a half of preschool. She just wanted to hang out at home, and it was fine, and I had a lot of time to spend with her, yada, yada. Anyway, dropping her off, and you know me, I'm like always with the wounded birds, right? So yes. I, of course, the one mother who's hysterically crying, she sort of like bonds with me instantaneously while I'm dropping off Tiffany, who's also hysterically crying, you know? And I'm like, yeah, it's separation. It's hard and all that, but trying to be soothing. I mean, her son was like trying to comfort her. And I'm like, there's something wrong with this picture here. So she comes to me. We end up becoming friends. She was a nutcase. She was and I don't mean nutcase like that we all have issues.
Legitimately?
Yeah. One time she, like her boyfriend, they had a fight. She jumps on his windshield holding the windshield wipers while he's pulling away, like screaming, like she was half naked. Then she comes, because we lived really close by, she comes running over to my house, pounding on my windows.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, it's really late, my dear. It's really late. I need to sleep. My daughter's asleep. And she was just like,
oh my, attract crazy like nobody I know. Like, I feel like you are like the bug for crazy. Like, come to me.
I'll help you, wounded bird.
Yes.
But anyway, so we were no longer friends after
that.
I can
imagine.
That took some years. But, I have to recommend this to our listeners because we are a psychology-related show. I went to see the movie Glass Castles.
Oh my God, I'm dying to see it.
Naomi Watts. It's incredible. And it's not so hard to watch like some of those movies that portray abuse and family dysfunction.
Yes,
it's really is watchable. It's so interesting in the transitions, and it's based on a true story.
Did you read the book?
I did not read the book.
The book is one of the best books I've ever read.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like she writes so beautifully.
On our show.
Oh, that would be lovely.
You know what? That's a good, anybody who knows.
Yeah, Jeanette Walls is her name.
Please,
yeah.
Put her in contact
with
us.
Right, exactly. No, but I mean, she writes so beautifully, and yeah, it's a true story. So I'm surprised it took this long to make a movie, because I think the book came out in like 2004 or
really?
Something. Yeah.
Oh, it's just brilliant. And I would be shocked if Woody Harrelson did not get nominated for an Academy.
I gotta see it.
He was incredible. I mean, they were cast very well. They do what they do best. And this was perfect roles for them.
Oh, that's great.
So it was really, really good. Then we had to go blow off steam, and we went to this wine tasting place that had all this music, and we danced for 3 hours. It was like,
You needed the escape.
Yes,
yeah, I
get
that.
It's so painful to watch that. Uh-huh. But, you know, for our listeners who are interested in psychology,
it's a great
profile.
Yeah, well, those of you who don't know the whole story, so it's about a little girl whose parents are both mentally disturbed and have issues, and she's it's just interesting the way the book, I don't know how the movie is, but the way she writes in the book, it's like, you know, it comes from a child's perspective, and she doesn't realize that her parents are, you know, different or odd or, you know, and it's just very normal and magical almost.
Yeah, and that's, he's always dreaming about building this glass house, yeah. You know, and oh, so anyway, highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how was your weekend?
Otherwise, it was pretty good. Some birthday parties, some friends over Friday night, so that was nice. It was kind of like impromptu last minute. And, you know, I'm going camping this weekend.
I can't believe you're going without me. There's just something really wrong with that.
Well, that's because it's Boy Scouts. It's not like, right. Yeah, Boy it's not Scouts. Like, but it's like bare bones. Like, I'm literally.
You should be afraid.
I'm not kidding. I was like reading the. The email is like, don't leave anything in your tents, like bears can get it. And I was like, what the hell did I sign up for? Like, I just started to think about it, and I don't know.
Truly, Kelly, these things with the Scouts, it's going to be one mass. It's going to be like the G-rated version of Coachella.
Oh my God, that's
so... There'll be so many people. Everybody will be, you know, rubbing their matchsticks together, trying to make a play. They'll have projects. Everybody will be really busy. There'll be like these big open... The tent after tent.
I might
tent
have to jump in a fire, like if it gets too much.
You should bring a bottle of wine and put it in.
I'm not kidding.
Tent.
I'm going to need it after that.
And you can call me anytime.
Thank you. You're so sweet. I might not get reception. I'm going to have to like Morris code you.
All right. Well, the only other thing I have to talk about this week is I have had Tiffany's dog because they went to a wedding in Santa Barbara. So they dropped off the dog last week. She's so cute. I swear to God, Tiffany actually healed her dog with herbs of heartworm.
No.
The vet wanted to give the dog the standard medicine. She said, let me just give it a try. And the dog got its latest blood test, and it's all gone.
Unbelievable.
So I give the dog this medicine every day, and she's so cute. But she starts from, she hasn't been to our house for a while, so since the holidays. And the first day, she's on her best behavior, like a little timid and a little, right? And then by this morning, oh my God, she's 12 years old and she does not understand that. But yesterday, she did the cutest thing. I've never seen her do this. There was three other dogs on leashes when I was walking her yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of them was a little mouthy and he was little.
Yeah.
And he was starting to approach her and she just dropped down.
Oh, she's submissive.
Yeah, she went completely submissive so she wouldn't be intimidating. I guess she's learning she wants the dogs. She's so boisterous that it scares dogs, even though all she wants to do is lick them and smell them and play.
She's a lab or a golden?
She's a lab.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
So
those are my highlights. All right. So last week we had Dr. Susan Edelman, the author of Be Your Own Brand of Sexy. She was awesome.
Great.
Just loved her style. You know, made you feel really at home and comfortable that, you know, we just need to embrace our bodies and who we are and not get caught up in all this imagery. And
well, it was so funny because when I first heard when she was coming on the show, I was like, oh, was it like provocative? Like I thought it was the opposite. I thought she was talking about like, you know, be sexy.
Really shake it up.
Yeah. And it was like the opposite. It was like, hey, be yourself because that's good enough and that's your brand. So I really loved what she had to say too.
Well, it was great. So pick up a copy of that. Be Your Own Brand of Sexy. It's an easy read, well written, and just wonderful. And today, drum roll, I'll let you do the introductions.
Okay.
You found these lovely guests.
So this week, we're so excited to have One Bad Mother, which is a comedy podcast hosted by Biz Ellis and Teresa Thorne about motherhood and how unnatural it sometimes is. We aren't all magical vessels. Now in its fourth year, One Bad Mother has created over 200 episodes with topics discussed ranging from Santa Claus to sex to finding raisins in the couch. I can relate to all of those.
Of course.
Teresa Thorne lives in Los Angeles with her husband, three children, and two dogs. Biz Ellis lives in Pasadena with her husband, her toddler son, and her daughter, who's a full-blown kid. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. How did you start your podcast?
This is a good story.
Good.
I had my first daughter. I was living in... I had my daughter. I don't have eight daughters. I have one daughter. I had her in New York, and this was maybe 8 years ago, and I just could not seem to find anything out there in the world that made me feel even remotely cool being a parent. I felt like I'd had a baby and I'd lost all cool factor. and so, you know, I felt like I was getting two choices. One was, you know, I was supposed to really hate parenting and agree that it was too hard and I'd made a horrible mistake, or my other choice was this image of total perfect parenting. And I was sort of in the middle, and I didn't feel anybody was talking about that. And so in my search for to try and feel cool, my husband had made me a T-shirt that said One Bad Mother on it, and it instantly made me feel like good about going out with my baby and on the subway and in public and not so feeling like a haggard mess that I actually felt like. And we moved to California a little later, and my husband and Teresa's husband thought she and I should meet. We didn't know each other. We met. We started walking with our little kids for exercise and started talking. And I was telling her, you know, I've had this idea for a podcast where we just sort of honestly talk about parenting, but it's also, you know, funny. It would be funny. And I realized that our conversations that she and I were having were pretty much what I wanted to do, because it turns out she and I are two totally different people mm-hmm. with two different ways of approaching parenting. And we found ourselves talking about all the things that are, according to the internet, are supposed to destroy our friendship. didn't. We were able to have these conversations with different opinions and still like each other. Big surprise. And so her husband runs a network of podcasts called Max Fun, and I went and pitched the idea to him. He liked it. She walked me out to my car, and I said, "This seems like weird timing, but do you want to co-host this with me?"
That's amazing.
I love it.
"I don't know."
Wow. Oh my God.
And about a week later, she said yes. Mm-hmm. And really, for the last 4 years, we have honestly just gotten to know each other in the recording booth every week. So everything mm-hmm. is, you know, we don't have a lot of history going into the show or to the topics we talk about.
Mm. But which makes it really nice, because it's like totally refreshing. You don't know what the other person's going to say.
And that is correct. And that has happened many times.
So the book is... I would say we've definitely gotten to the point where there's now things that we can kind of anticipate. Like, the recurring theme is we've discovered that Biz really likes to be prepared for things. So, like, everything in parenting, like, somehow always comes back to, well, as long as we just talk about it in advance and we just really think about, like, what this is going to be like, and we really talk about it with our kids, and we really, you know, talk through scenarios, and we, you know, kind of like role play, everything's going to be fine. And it's funny because another recurring theme is me winging it. And, you know, we're not like exactly like that, but it just sort of starts to fall that way mm-hmm. over and over, which is interesting.
That is great. And I love the book. You're doing a great job. 100 ways you're winning at parenting. I'm just popping through in some of these little statements. They're really, it's very, very cute funny. And very sweet. This is, you got your baby to stop something. The bottle, the boob, the pacifier, whatever. You took away something they love for their own good. Good job.
Yeah.
So how did you split up, like, who was going to write what? Or did you both like share in writing each tip?
That was so fun. We sort of divided up chapters. We sort of got a feel for a general outline of the book, and then we divided up chapters, but then we would get together and we would read them together, and we would sort of like punch up each other's jokes and add things. And then where there were holes, you know, one of us would offer to fill something in. And gradually it just sort of came together. And now sort of looking back at the book, you know, there's a few of them where I can like point to that and say like, oh, that was all Biz, or oh, that was all me. But a lot of them were really collaborative efforts.
That's so nice. And I want to go back to the podcast for 1 minute. I'm wondering what the community is like that you attract, because I could imagine it's sort of all different types of mothers, and what the response has been from them.
Yeah, one of the things that's really important to Teresa and I is that we are fully aware that we do not represent all voices in parenting. Not even close. And we really like bringing on as many diverse voices as possible as our guests to sort of talk about different approaches to parenting. And I think our community reflects that. One of the things we like to say on the show is there's a lot of different ways you can get a kid. And I think there's a lot of different ways you can approach parenting. And a general theme of the show is don't be a jerk and don't assume somebody's being a jerk to you, which really can happen on the internet or when you're writing things. Mm-hmm. And it can really happen when you're talking about parenting. Like a big example is if you start trying to share some amazing thing you did that got your kid to sleep through the night, which may or not have actually been a thing that you did. Right. But like you're like so excited and your kid's up through the night and you want to share it with your friend, it's really easy to feel like if you're the friend that like I'm doing it wrong. Why am I doing it wrong? Is she suggesting that I'm doing it wrong? I'm totally doing this wrong. Why does she hate me? So the mantra of don't assume anybody's being a jerk when they're telling you stuff and don't be a jerk back really is sort of what the community is based on. And it that's sort of the overriding rules and all the subgroups that have come up online on Facebook and on the main One Bad Mother Facebook page. And it's really sort of a unifying tie between people who are coming at this from different ways. It allows people, our community has been great in terms of giving us feedback too. Mm-hmm. If we happen to be jerks on show unintentionally, people are really good at saying, hey, you know what? You were talking about strollers and how early on, a good example is I had said, strollers are great. Everybody does strollers differently, but I do not understand five-year-olds in strollers, right? Mm-hmm. And ha, 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 making a little joke about it. And I get this email that says, well, I totally understand what you're saying, Biz, but my son, you know, some kids who are on the autism scale, mm-hmm. it really helps to have them in a stroller to help sort of take out the sort of things that are super distracting or bother the sensory experiences they're having. And I was like, wow, mm-hmm. I have never thought of that because that's not what's happening in my life. Yep. And it was really easy for me to go back on the show and say, hey, guys, because you know, you shared this with me, I can now share this with you guys. And so, and you know, none of us were mad at each other. That's no one nice. Was like, I can't. Yeah, I mean, that's the community. And it's really nice. They're a lot nicer than us.
But it sounds like that comes from sort of the abundance mentality instead of there just being like one right way or one expert who knows it all. It's like you share your opinions, you share what you think, and you're totally open to feedback from other people.
Correct.
Yeah,
that cannot hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
I think also part of that is like, you know, the idea that, you know, there's lots of different ways of doing things is part of it. But then sort of an extra level to that is that kind of nobody cares what you're doing. like, you know, early on as new parents, I think, we, like a lot of parents, felt pressure that, you know, oh, somebody saw me with my kid having a tantrum and saw, you know, how I handled it, or somebody was thinking this about me because I did sleep training and they didn't, or somebody thought this or did that. And what we have kind of realized over time, as well as learning that everybody is doing things in their own way, is also just that, like, we're all kind of so busy dealing with our own stuff that we have going on in our own houses and with our own kids. But like none of us are actually looking across Target or looking across the playground at another family and judging them, you know, or at least not as much as, you know, we sometimes feel judged.
Well, I think really the people who are the most judgmental are the young idealists who don't have kids yet.
Oh,
and they
absolutely.
Look upon it and judge and like, who cares about their opinion anyway? What the fuck do they know about parenting?
Nothing.
Right?
I told you I sat on the plane.
Well, but that's the joy of parenting, guys. That's the thing. We all walk around with a long list of pre-kid expectations and assumptions. And then you have a child, however you got that child, and they slowly and embarrassingly chip away.
That's so true.
Totally.
I was sitting next to this probably about 20-year-old. I just went to Chicago with my family. She hated us. I mean, like
she, both of them were on the plane with
she
you.
She was, well, because it was like, so my son was by the window, I'm in the middle, and then she was there, and then my husband was there, and my son was on the other side, or vice versa. But she was sort of caught. She was like in her family and didn't want to be, you know, because of like the seating arrangement.
Why didn't she just offer to change seats?
Because she's was mean. She was
just a miserable human
being.
She
was so mean, giving us the evil eye, staring at us, not nice. And then, you know the story. And then at the end of the plane ride, just to, as the finale, we're, you know, everybody's walking off, you know, and my younger son's pushing everybody out of the way. And my husband's like, no, you know, Lennon, stop. And Lennon says, fucking daddy. Everyone turns around. Yep. It was a perfect ending to that flight. And that person's probably telling the story to her friends. Like, can you believe this family? And they had the brattiest kids.
Kelly, I think she's actually starting her own podcast for that as the material.
I don't blame her.
Of course. Oh, my God.
Don't worry. She's gonna totally, if she ever has kids, she'll have a biter. Don't worry about it.
It's so true. The karma. The kid karma. Exactly. So, all right. Well, I want to know, too, what you guys were doing before you did this podcast, because you sound super interesting, and I want to hear the lives before the podcast.
So, Teresa, I was, my husband and I run a podcast network together called Maximum Fun, and we distribute a bunch of coffee and culture podcasts, and we also independently produce an NPR show of which my husband is the host, called Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. And I had gone to law school, so I was sort of running the operations of the business, and I still sort of am running the operations of the business, but I'm also making one bad mother, and you know I have three kids, including a baby, so
wow.
The amount that I'm working these days is a lot less than it was before, but I am still very much involved over there.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's
And I used to do a sketch comedy in New York City, and then additionally, because I like making money, I was an executive assistant in New York. And we moved out here with my daughter, and it wound up being a situation where I could continue my work for a little while, and then stopped working and with my daughter and when I had my son, and then started working on the podcast, started pursuing that.
Oh, that's cool. Great. That's awesome. Wow. Oh, my God. All right. So, and I know at the beginning you guys talked a little bit about how you parent differently. So I want to know what that looks like.
Here's a glimpse. I'm running around like a cat who's been scared all the time, while Teresa is like, this is my definition, she's going to look at me cross-eyed, but like, I really am just like constantly like overthinking things to the point of distraction, and Teresa always comes in and like busts out the most amazing like knowledge bombs, like so calming. She's so calming to me, and I would love to walk into her house and see her not calm, and I'm sure that is the case, but I feel like she is very much a, it's going to happen when it happens, and I am like a, it's going to happen when it happens, but I'm going to be 100% prepared for whatever that happening is.
Yeah. Okay, so but there's another way of talking about this that doesn't take like Fizz as a freak and me as like somebody who has it all together, which is, I think that, you know, the way I sort of approach having kids in a lot of ways sort of reflects that I grew up in a huge Catholic family with a ton of cousins and aunts and uncles and people around all the time. And to me, just sort of babies and childhood are just sort of a part of life, a natural part of life that I can't control. It's almost like something that's happened to me. I mean, granted, I've like chosen to have kids and chosen to have this life, but it was, for me, it felt always inevitable. And so a lot of times when something feels hard or stressful, you know, I sort of fall back on this attitude of like, oh, well, it'll be fine probably. And one thing I really admire about Biz's approach to parenting is that she's just like really trying really hard to do a really good job, and that often means that she does a really good job, like better than most people. I think she really like thinks things through, like what is the best way for me to teach my kids about, you know, some particular thing that I want to teach them about, or what is the best way for me to you know, instill certain values in my kids, or, mm-hmm. You know, just, she really, like, actually puts a lot of effort into it, which I really appreciate and think actually works out pretty well.
That's yeah, I, it makes me super fun to be around 9 o'clock at night.
So if you just tuned in, we are talking with the amazingly funny hosts of One Bad Mother, the comedy podcast, and we're also talking about their book, You're Doing a Great Job, 100 Ways You're Winning at Parenting.
Do you have any one of your tips in the book that is one of your favorites that we could read?
Yeah, the one that I think is, well, there's two probably, but the one I think we may be the only book that will tell you this.
Oh, sorry, hold on.
The book is right here, and I'm like, that's okay, I got it. The one that I think we may be the only book that tells you is that there's going to be poop in the tub. At some point in time, there's like a 99% chance your kid's going to poop in the tub, and it's so surprising when it happens, and you survive, and you're probably going to bathe in that tub later that night. Like, you live, you survive. Yep. But, like, poop in the tub is one of the, it's a classic example of, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting this at all. What am I, what has happened to my life?
Yep. Oh my God. That's so funny. It reminds me of when the your OBGYN tells you you're probably, as the mom, going to poop in the delivery room while you're delivering the baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a great one.
They warn you about that. They warn you about
but
that.
But they don't about this.
It was a total mystery to me.
Oh, wow.
And for me, I think the other one is we talk about sort of the to-do list and the pressure of the to-do list.
Oh,
and we then list examples of all the things that we're doing that are not on your to-do list. You know,
yes.
Getting all your kids up, getting them dressed, feeding them breakfast, cleaning up after breakfast, realizing what you need from the store, going to the store, getting those things from the store, coming home, putting them all away, making a snack. Now you have to clean up after the snack. You have to do the laundry. Mm-hmm. Do we have diapers? Do we need diapers? Who's sick? Is that a rash? I mean, like all these things. No, that doesn't even include getting to work, all the schedules you're trying to maintain, and it's just, it's like a shark. You're like a shark, constantly moving. And those aren't things we ever scratch off or give ourselves credit for. And it's, you know, we suggest maybe making a have-done list. Uh-huh. You know,
that's smart.
The same thing as returning library books. Mm, you know, yes. So anyway, those are my two sort of like, favorites of the book.
You know which one I absolutely love? It's because I can so relate to this. It says, your partner was sick and you didn't take it personally or assume they did it on purpose. Good job. Less to feel guilty about next time you're the one who's sick. Then the next page, you and your partner were sick at the same time. Somehow your family remains intact. And then my favorite, if you're sick with the stomach flu, then it's 100% guaranteed that your partner will have the stomach flu at the same time. If a partner lives in your house, it's no one's fault. No one's trying to be sicker than you. This is just how disease works, and it's awful. And it's so funny because I remember I got the flu, I don't know, probably about, let's see, a year ago, 9 months ago, whatever. And, you know, I'm like, you know, feeling so sick, but I'm still managing to get everything done. And, you know, I'm going to toot my own horn here a little bit and making lunches and dinners and cleaning up. And like, literally the next day, my husband's like, oh, he's like, I think have a worse case than you do. It's like, I can't even move. And I'm like, no, you don't. You have the exact same strain. I'm just stronger than you. Like, it's like so hard not to get pissed off because you're like, come on, buck up. It's so funny.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's really hard. That's for real a hard thing.
Yes.
And if you manage to survive, you're doing an amazing job.
Of course. And Teresa, do you have a different favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I really like all the relationship ones are sort of my favorite ones. Like, we sort of have a series of things that we're telling people, good job not saying that out loud. you know, noticing that, you know, your partner is, like, sitting there reading a magazine. Like, we've talked about that on the show before, where, like, sometimes we've just, like, never been as livid as, like, walking into the living room and just seeing our partner sitting there reading a magazine. Like, there's just something about that image that just makes us, like, fly off the handle, like, just in so many ways. Like, how is this happening right now? You're reading a magazine? Like, how? And one of the things, like, we try to, like, drive home with a lot of the relationship ones that I find really helpful in my own life and relationship is the idea that, like, nobody, like, really has it worse than anyone else. Like, we're kind of all living in our own personal hell in our own ways.
Yes.
And so, you know, we love our partners, and they're living out their own personal hell the same way we're living out our own personal hell. True. And it doesn't sometimes always help to assume that it's just obvious that somebody has it worse than somebody else.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually have been channeling that magazine one recently. My husband gets home, like, after we've done all the dinner and the kids are in the bath, and, you know, it's not nice that he has to come home and sort of cram his dinner down after we're all done. There's no family time for him, and he's really into that. He would like to have dinner with us, and it just is not how our schedule works these days. And so the kids will be, like, getting dressed for bed, and Stefan will be sitting at the table, like, shoveling whatever cold dinner is left, you know, and reading the paper, and I will sit there, and I will think, I know, as a rational person, that he deserves to read this paper. I know this. Simultaneously, I feel like I'm living out some 1950s children's book where, like, Papa Bear has come home and I'm serving him the tea and giving him the paper, and here are your slippers. And I said that to him the other day. I said, I know it's fine that you're reading the paper, but I feel like I should be, and he finishes the sentence. He says, bringing me my slippers.
Thank goodness.
I love you.
It's so nice to honestly talk about all this stuff. I mean, it really is. I can't imagine back in the day when you couldn't really talk about all this stuff. This is, like, you know, my sanity is, like, expressing it and having humor around it. So I love that you guys are talking about all this.
I love that, too. I also love it when a partner who sees his, let's say, just stereotypically, his wife completely overwhelmed by taking care of all the kids' stuff and doing all that. And he says, you know, well, I'm going golfing tomorrow. Why don't you go get a spa treatment? It's like, why aren't you offering to do the laundry?
Exactly.
Right? That's what would be helpful right now. Not
so
going
true.
Golfing and giving me the same luxury, right?
Well, I think one thing.
Yeah, but you gotta say that.
Yes.
You gotta say,
it's true.
That is really sweet. But you know what's even sweeter?
Yeah. I like
folding all this blankety blank blank laundry.
Exactly. When I think that a lot of times partners don't realize, like, that's a turn on to, like, help within the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my clients that I'm dealing with, like, they're resentful at their husband because they're not doing enough around the house. And I'm like looking at the husbands and I'm like, dude, you're going to get more action if you just fucking put your dishes away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like,
it's
don't.
Very sexy.
Right? It's so funny.
Absolutely.
Household porn.
This is funny because, you know, since Kelly and I do our show, we both have kids, and sometimes we talk about our own kids. How do you guys balance what you will and will not talk about your own children? That's it. Silent.
I think we're sort of already violating and betraying them by talking about them on the show and by even, like, having a show at all. Like, I don't think there's any way around that. We do our best to just be respectful in the sense, I think, we sort of try to imagine, you know, that we are them listening to the show at some point. I kind of doubt our kids will care enough to go back and listen to the One Bad Mother archives, but you never know. And it's sort of a way to just have something in mind, to keep in mind when we're talking. I mean, most of the time we're talking about ourselves anyway. We're not talking about our kids specifically, usually. We're usually talking about how something going on with them affects us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful to remember that really the show is about us. And then on top of that, when we are talking about something going on with one of our kids, just sort of try to imagine that the kid is listening, or maybe the kid 10 years from now is listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. I don't know how it is for you guys, but I think it's quite a challenge. And in the same way, in talking about our relationships with our husbands, it's like, you know, so sometimes we want to, you know, we always want to share honestly, but, you know, it's also like the most important relationship in our lives, you know, just going to, you know, you have to be protective of that as well.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing with my kids, too. I'm like, first of all, I'm hoping that the technology changes so that they don't have access to this.
I was going
to
say, so it gets all wiped out, right?
Right, exactly. Or it's, like, too difficult. It's like us with, like, VHS tapes.
No,
like,
I'm hoping they'll go back and listen and be like, oh, I love my mother so much. She was a real person who did things and loved me and really thought about me. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, Kelly, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
Kelly's kids are young when we started this. We started this 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So your little one was...
It was like two and change.
And
yeah.
The other one was 5.
Exactly.
So they don't have an opinion.
No.
Yeah, well, I heard you just say kidding. That you started third grade today. Is that correct?
My older
Somebody
one.
Started third?
Yep, my older one.
Yeah, my oldest started third grade yesterday.
Nice.
I was so surprised yesterday how emotional I was about it, like it came out in like the ugliest of like unhealthy ways. Like it manifested in the new dress code, my anger at it. It manifested at me like crying in the middle of us recording our show yesterday. It like manifested in me sitting on the couch super quiet the rest of the night.
Because
it's a big deal,
because it was like she's growing up. Or
Yeah, I think it just caught me off guard how old she is. Third grade seemed like a really big deal, and it caught me really off guard. And I think we talk about that on the show a lot, that like most of what we come in to talk about is stuff that really caught us off guard. We didn't think we were going to have to think about, not because we were ignoring thinking about them. We just legitimately had no idea this was going to be a thing we might think about or have to deal with. And I feel like that one of the biggest struggles when we hear like our listeners call in or what we see on the message boards is people sort of struggling with things that they didn't know was even a thing I have to do.
Wow.
Where do people hear your podcast, by the way?
It's everywhere. Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, no, just to say, it's on, they can find it on iTunes. They can find it at MaximumFun.org. The show comes out every week on Thursdays, as long as no one's been sick all week or something crazy has happened. Every week.
Okay, and it's an hour show? Just so our listeners know.
It's a little longer than an hour. We sort of assume a majority of our listeners are up at 2 o'clock in the morning breastfeeding.
Right.
Need a nice long thing. Or we sort of have the show divided into segments. So if you're like any normal parent, you have about maybe 10 minutes to listen to one part.
Yep.
Then another time you can listen to it. You can listen to another section, another part. It's sort of broken up into us sort of checking in. We then talk about a topic. We then have a segment called Genius and Fails where we share our genius moments, which are just those moments that no one cares about that we did. Like, you know, whether it be my child stopped using a bottle or yesterday somebody called in with a call saying her genius moment was putting together turning the cribs into toddler beds.
And
then 2 days later, turning them back into cribs because it was not time. And we thought it was the best thing.
That's great.
Because, you know, you could, like, that's a genius. That's a genius idea. Good job to that woman. Anyway, and then we have callers. We'll, like, play calls of people with their genius. And we do the same thing with fails, which are almost better because we beat ourselves up so much about stuff that we think we're the only ones doing these mistakes or having these moments. And after listening to 200 calls a week, I can guarantee you, you're not the only person who forgot to do that last buckle in the car seat.
Yes.
You are not the only person who, you know, totally burned up dinner. You're not the only person who took your kids out without a change of clothes. And you are not the only person who showed up to work without shoes. You are not. You are not that person. And so we all get to like sort of celebrate doing an awful job. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, the worst. And then we have a guest, and then we have a rant where we let a mom have a breakdown.
Oh, that's nice.
They usually call, it's a call we'll play, and that's just really a time for us to remember that the really hard stuff that aren't fails, that are just like super hard, like moves and family members passing away and just the struggle of trying to get out of the house, the stuff that brings us to our knees, you know, is shared. Mm-hmm. And you're not alone and you're doing a really good job. It's just sort of a chance for us to all kind of check base that this is normal. Right. For the most part. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we certainly talk about things that, and point out when something may no longer be normal, you know. But on the whole, most of the stuff we're all going through that's sort of bringing us to our knees is going to pass and is okay. I mean, and you're doing okay.
That's great. I want to read another one from your book that I really like. You swore you wouldn't allow this to happen, but your toddler is drinking as much juice as he wants, or he's using the iPad in the stroller, or you went through the drive-thru instead of cooking dinner. Whatever you said, you wouldn't go back when you didn't have kids. You're doing that now. It's come to this. Oh, well, you're doing okay.
Yes.
Just exactly what you're talking about. And then this is perfect also from what we're talking about. Let's talk about neglect for a minute. Neglect is a real thing that affects real kids. But let's talk about what neglect isn't. Neglect isn't putting your toddler in front of the television while you work from home or study for grad school. Neglect isn't taking a shower by yourself. Neglect isn't leaving your baby with a sitter so you can have a night out. None of this is neglect. This is life, and you're doing a good job. And I love those because it really normalizes, like, well, we really all need to still take care of ourselves, take care of business. And there's so many new young parents out there who think like, oh my God, I have to do everything. Yes. Perfectly, and I have to do this just right, or what is somebody going to think about me? And then you just like, you know, you don't blow dry your hair, and you eat too much ice cream, and you sit in front of the TV and you say, let's just watch a movie.
Right. Right? Exactly.
With the kids, it's like,
yes.
Oh, the hell with self-stimulation and figuring it out.
I think that one also came about because, you know, especially with our first kids, sometimes we feel that we have to be engaged with them at all times. Otherwise, you know, we're being like a neglectful parent or something.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we've gotten calls on the show where parents are saying, you know, such and such fell through the cracks, and therefore, you know, my kid's going to be watching TV today while I study for this exam tomorrow, and I'm going to be neglecting my kid today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a recurring theme. This is not just one person's skewed thinking. This is something that somehow parents have gotten the message that, you know, it's never okay to leave your child to their own devices. And we're not talking about leaving a kid alone in the house. We're talking about letting a kid entertain themselves for a little while, you know, with or without a screen. It's realistic, and they're fine. And, yes. And there is real child neglect in the world. This is not it.
Exactly.
You know, this is not what that is.
No.
You know,
yeah.
These are healthy kids that are loved and cared for and have clothes and houses and food. And so we really wanted to like, look at that, like look at the skewed thinking. Cause I think a lot of people were feeling that way without really investigating what they were feeling or why.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
So I have a question for you both. If you look back and kind of think about maybe one thing that surprised you the most about parenting in general, what would it be?
Let me think. What surprised? Well, besides the poop in the tub, that was super surprising. You know what? I think for me, in terms of parenting, it really does sort of go back to that feeling of discovering things I didn't think I was going to have to think about ever. You know, I never thought about, like, and I don't want to, like, make this feel like I'm belittling it, but I never thought twice about teeth and kids. You know, I just didn't. Who thinks about teeth? Like, they're going to have some teeth. And this is going to be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then my daughter's, like, her 6-year molars came in without enamel. And suddenly I'm thinking about teeth all the time, mm-hmm. right? Now, not to the point where I'm losing sleep, but, like, I just didn't think I was going to have to think about teeth. Uh-huh. I didn't think mm-hmm. I was going to have to think about the fact that my 2 kids were going to be totally different. Yes. Who knew that? Mm-hmm. How is that possible? You know, what worked for one kid is not, like, that was a big struggle with my second child. I was like, my first child, this lullaby totally worked. Why mm-hmm. are you, why doesn't this work for you? Why? And it has nothing to do with the kids. It's totally about things that I had let fall into a place of, this is definitely not going to be a big deal, or mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was supposed to figure something out to, right. to help with this, whether that help be to help my kids or to help me not stress out about it. Mm-hmm. That was actually really surprising and like almost a dumb surprise. I always feel like, oh yeah, of course my kids are different.
Right.
Exactly. Why? Of course teeth problems happen. Of course.
Right.
You know, but there's like so much to think about. And I, you know, that mm-hmm. that when these little things come up, they can be a real surprise for me.
And how about you, Teresa?
I mean, there's been a lot of things. I would say one of them, sorry, my 6-3-year-old is here talking to me, which is very convenient right now. So for me, I think, like, I wouldn't have admitted this at the time, but before having kids, I think I just assumed I would have kids who are just like me, like, who are, like, people like me, like, with my, like yes. little Teresa's, like, yes. with my personality, and, like, kind of look like me, and, like, interested in the stuff I'm interested in. Like, it sounds stupid, like, looking back, but I think that's really what I thought, because, as it turns out, you know, my first child is a lot more like my husband than she is like me, and she's just her own amazing human that I don't know where she came from. Like, she's like an alien from outer space. And then my second child, you know, maybe he's a little more like me, but he's still just his own dude. I mean, obviously, it sounds so silly. Again,
no, it
like,
doesn't.
Say, oh, as it turned out, like, these are different people than I am. But, yes. like, I think it is somehow a shock that these people came out of me, like, I made these people, yes. and, like, who are they?
Yes.
You know, like, who is this person that is my person uh-huh. that I made? Like, it's just, sometimes it just, like, continues, because, you know, my oldest is just turned 6, and it continues to surprise me, like, wow, you're looking at this in a totally different way than I would have, and I guess that's fine. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you came from.
I so relate. I can so understand what you're saying.
That is so cute. You know, I'll share what was the most surprising thing for me about parenting was my mother always held grudges, so she was unable to get over something quickly. Mm. So what was shocking to me was how quickly I was able to recover from being upset or frustrated or disappointed in
That's
my daughter.
Nice.
Like, it was like within like 1 second after yeah. it's over, it's like just looking at what a beautiful little being she was, and it was mm-hmm. done.
That's
so
nice.
That was the most surprising thing to me. I thought I was really going to struggle with that.
Really?
Yeah. How about you? Quickly.
In general?
That was like the answer to what? Parenting. Like, I mean, really, like, just having the patience and being relaxed enough that, like, when something goes wrong, you can pull it together afterwards and, like,
yes.
keep going and feel okay. Like, that's mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, it was key. How about you,
Okay,
Kelly?
So there's two things. Number one, how incredibly difficult. I didn't expect it to be. It's really hard. So that was number one. But number two, how you have to parent your kids differently. And I always thought it was like, oh, well, you,
yeah.
know, you have 2 kids. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you use the same approach. And it's like, no, that's not the case. So that surprised me, too.
Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. So we have been talking with Teresa and Biz, the podcasters for One Bad Mother and authors of You're Doing a Great Job. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank
and where
you.
Can they find you? Where can our audience find you?
You can check us out. You can find links to previous shows, to our live shows, to our book information, to press information at onebadmotherpodcast.com. You can also find us at maximumfun.org. And on iTunes.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you guys
so
much.
That was delightful. And next week, next week we have Robert Williams, author of Love is Power.
Yes, super excited. So find us on Instagram at Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly, Twitter at DocTherapist1, Facebook, The Dr. Deborah and Therapist Show. Our website is docandtherapist.com, and you can send us emails anytime, docandtherapist@gmail.com. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.